हे वासुदेवायाम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम ओम नमो भगवते हि वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 8, Chapter 12, Text Number 11. Sattvam samihitam adastiti janmanasham. Bhute hitam cha jagato bhava bandhamo moksho. Vayur yata vishatikam cha chira chirakyam. Sarvam tad atma kataya vagamo varunse. Satvam samihitam adastiti janmanasham. Bhute hitam cha jagato bhava bandha moksho. Vayur yata vishatikam cha chara chara kyam. Sarvam tad atma kataya vagamo varunche. Sattvam samihitam adastiti janmanasham. Bhute hitam cha jagato bhava bandha moksho. Vayur yata vishatikam cha chara charakyam. Sarvam tad atma kataya vagamo varuche. His chant. Say,
Ladies, please.
Sattvam samishitam adasti ki jananasham.
Saha, your lordship, Dvam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Samihitam, which has been created by you, Addha, of this material cosmic manifestation, Stiti Janma Nasham. Creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Bhuta, of the living entities. Ihitam cha, and the different activities or endeavors. Jagataha, of the whole world. Bhavabandha moksho, in being implicated and being liberated from material complications. Vayu, the air. Yatha, as. Vishati, enters. Come in the non-moving, excuse me, no, Swamitra, in the vast sky. Cha, and. Chara, achara, Akyam, and everything moving and non-moving. Sarvam, everything. Tat, that. Atmakataya, because of your presence. Avagamaha, everything is known to you. Avaruntse, you are all-pervading, and therefore know everything. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai. My Lord, you are the supreme knowledge personified. You know everything about this creation and its beginning, maintenance, and annihilation. And you know all the endeavors made by the living entities, by which they are either implicated in this material world or liberated from it. As the air enters the vast sky and also enters the bodies of all moving and non-moving entities, you are present everywhere. And therefore, you are the knower of all. The knower of all. Please repeat. My Lord, you are the supreme knowledge personified. You know everything about this creation and its beginning, maintenance, and annihilation. And you know all the endeavors made by the living entities, by which they are either implicated in this material world or liberated from it. As the air enters the vast sky and also enters the bodies of all moving and non-moving entities, you are present everywhere, and therefore you are the knower of all. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Eko pyaso rachayatam jagat andakotim yachakir asti jagat andachayayat antaha andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam Govindamari Purusham Tammaham Bhajami. Which means, quote, I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who by one of his plenary portions enters the existence of every universe and every atomic particle, and thus manifests his infinite energy unlimitedly throughout the material creation. From the Brahma Samhita, 5:35. Ananda chinmaya rasa prati bhavitabhis tabhiya eva nija rupataya kalabhi goloke eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto govindamari purusham tammaham bhajami. Which means, quote, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency of Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. That's from Brahma Samhita, 5:37. Although Govinda is always present in his abode, Goloka Eva Nivasati, he is simultaneously present everywhere. Nothing is unknown to him, and nothing can be hidden from him. The example given here compares the Lord to the air, which is within the vast sky and within every body, but still is different from everything. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet and pray for the prayers of all the assembled Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas on the internet, to please pray that I say something useful and beneficial and not nonsensical, so that everyone may be benefited. Thank you so much. So here we have a description, basically, of the super soul, Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. As we know, the Lord expands himself into three particular Vishnu forms, Mahavishnu, or Karanadakshayi Vishnu. What is the second one? Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. So those are three of his expansions, and here we are specifically talking about the third one, which is known as also the Paramatma, or Supersoul, who is all over and everywhere present throughout the universe. And why is he here? Well, one of the chief reasons is that when we decided to leave the eternal world in order to become an enjoyer of everything that is in this world, in order to become like a lord, an enjoyer, a proprietor, the friend of all, one who has a sense of importance, a sense of value, a sense of lordship, a sense of controllership, one who manipulates, one who controls, one who orders, one who dictates. These are the earmarks of lordship. So we, of course, wanted to get the taste or get the feeling of what it is like to be a lord. What does it feel like to be one who orders, one who dictates, as opposed to one who serves? Now, in service, there is joy, there is happiness, there is satisfaction. Nonetheless, being independent living entities, we can always choose to use that independence either usefully or destructively. When we go against our constitutional position, then we are using it destructively. Jivera Swarupahoi Krishneda Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is to be what? An eternal servant of the Lord. This is our only and real business. But as I said, because we have independence, we may, out of curiosity or even envy, desire to feel what it's like, to taste what it's like, to be a controller, to be a lord, to be in charge. And when that desire becomes so strong that we no longer want to be a servant in the eternal world, then Krishna satisfies that desire and he sends us to this world, which is the world wherein one can imagine that he is or she is a lord. And the interesting thing about this is because we are going, by when we enter into this world, we're actually going against our constitutional position. We're desiring to be an enjoyer, when actually that's the position of the Supreme Lord. He's the one who enjoys. And what does he enjoy? He enjoys our offerings. He enjoys us. And in so doing, he reciprocates with us and gives us injections, so to speak, of his own joy, flooding the soul with transcendental bliss. So this is the general way it's supposed to work. But as I said, when the living entity makes this decision that he no longer wants to be a servant, but rather wants to be a captain, wants to be a dictator, wants to be a master, the Lord allows him to do this. But on the other hand, being a loving, caring, considerate, and thoughtful father, he also knows that when we enter into this world, we will be covered by what is known as the external or illusory energy, and we will be dictated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And as a result, we will make decisions that will become harmful, self-destructive, destructive of other living beings. Our importance will be, how can I be important? How can I be valuable? How can I get people to look up to me, to adore me, to applaud me, to honor me, to celebrate me, to glorify me? So in the course of doing that, we may have to push certain people away, aside. We may have to try to minimize them so that we can maximize our own presence on our own situation. This is often referred to as a dog-eat-dog situation in the material world. This is what is going on. As soon as a person reaches a very high position in his field, on the one hand, he's glad to, or she's glad to have that position. On the other hand, there is fear, there is anxiety, there is uncertainty, because that position can be taken away. The person can be eclipsed. The person can be outshone by somebody who might be better or more capable in that particular firm or in that particular situation. So, therefore, anxiety is rampant throughout the material world. One may take tranquilizers, one may take sedatives, one may take painkillers, different forms of means by which one may quiet or calm his mind, but these are all artificial. They don't change the nature of the mind, which wants to enjoy, which wants to own, which wants to control, and wants to have everyone love him or like him or applaud him. That doesn't change, because that is the victimization of the material energy. And we are given our different karmic reactions as a result. As Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and I'm directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So Krishna is giving us our karma. The Supersoul, or Krishna, in the form of Kshiradakshayi Vishnu, or Paramatma, he doesn't just let us come into this material world and just flounder around here and there, but he actually accompanies us, and he stays with us. And where does he stay with us? Well, we exist in the heart as little living entities, as 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. That's our little size. And the Paramatma exists right beside the living entity. And his business is ultimately and truly to try to, when we experience enough pain, enough suffering, because the material world is made for suffering, it's made for pleasure. Unfortunately, although we may enjoy, we may have pleasure, we may be having lots of fun, it lasts for a short amount of time. And whatever pleasures we have are balanced out by the pains that we get. If you have lots and lots and lots of pleasurable foods, well, what will happen is that eventually, well, I'll give you an example. For example, you take some ice cream, and you have 2 quarts of ice cream. You take the first few spoonfuls, and it's very tasty, and then you take more spoonfuls, and it becomes more tasty, and more and more and more, until you finally you've gotten 2 quarts finished, and you feel just all you want to do is sleep. And then you wake up with a big, humongous bellyache, and you're just holding your stomach. Why did I do that? I knew it was wrong. I knew I shouldn't have done that, but it tasted so good. So, yeah, it tasted good, and that's why we are here, to enjoy. So it's very difficult to resist the temptations. Why? Because we're here to enjoy. So if you receive something which is enabling you or us to fulfill our purpose in being in this material world, which is to be an enjoyer, to be a proprietor, to be an owner, then we're going to jump at it. For example, there are many people, they have lots of money, and it's not enough for them to have one mansion. But after they have one mansion, for example, maybe in the Los Angeles area, then they get another one in New York. And then they get another one in Mexico. And they get another one in France. And they get another one in Germany. And they keep adding to the mansions, and they hardly ever live in them. All they do is pay the caretakers to take care of them. And they have this heady, intoxicated feeling. Wow, I've got 10 mansions. I made it. I've done it. I'm there. So this is the unfortunate type of mentality that people grow up with. I just was listening to some news broadcast that this comedian Jerry Seinfeld, I think his name is, he makes about $80 million a year on his residuals from his TV broadcast. And I think he has about 50 or 60 Porsches. You can only drive one at a time. That's all. Unless you have some special mystic powers where you can divide your body. I mean, Krishna, he can drive thousands of Porsches at once. So he deserves it, if anyone does, because he could use them. But this one person, he has 50, 60, and Jay Leno, another person, with all kinds of cars and cars. What's the point? The point is that these cars are considered high-status cars. When you have a high-status car, does it mean when you drive along the street, everybody goes, wow, gee, you know, because they don't have that. They would like to have that. Why? Because it means you are of a prestigious position. And that's the idea of being a lord, to be in a prestigious position. to be important, to have people look at you, to people applaud. God forbid you should have a new Porsche. You see, and then the year expires, and you haven't bought a new one, and there's someone else on the block who buys the newest model, and he drives down, and nobody even wants to look at your Porsche anymore. So this is the difficult situation of what they call keeping up with the Joneses or the Smiths or whatever. It's a horrible situation. You get it in the high schools, in the grammar schools, people going out on dates, guys asking guys, you got a date this weekend? Yeah, I got a date this week. You got a date? No, I don't have a date. You're worthless. Girls, same way. Then on Monday morning, talk about which movie they went to. Did you have? And if you didn't have a date, well, you have to hide because you have no status. Nobody wants to even consider you. And your mother, she hears that you didn't have a date. It's even more difficult for her because when the neighbors who have daughters or sons also, they talk about their positions, well then, and you have nothing to talk about, you feel small, you feel insignificant, you feel like a little piece of a dust particle. So this is the lamentable situation in the material world, that all happiness is based upon some type of material achievement, which, as we know, is here today and gone tomorrow. You may be a very, very beautiful person, physically speaking, and that may last for a certain amount of time. And you may get into 50s or 60s or 70s, and then the only way to maintain that position of that status of being a beautiful woman is that you have to get facelifts. You know, everything is hanging down. I have to go across to the Dr. Boris over there. He'll fix you up real fast. He even's got his radio people out there on the street on Saturday. In fact, they were shouting so loud that, you know, you can get yourself a facelift. Now, you get it for your wholesale. Dr. Boris will do it for you. And it was so loud. They had the, like, radio loudspeakers out there. So it was interrupting my devotional service. I couldn't hear myself do my rounds. So I went across the street and I said, who's in charge of this? So finally they got the guy who was, he says, we got a license. He says, we got a permit. We're allowed. I says, you're not allowed to go over a certain decibel limit. And you are way over it. So unless you cool it, unless you calm it, unless you hopefully get rid of it, I am calling the police. So he said, okay, we'll tune it down. So he turned it down for 10 minutes, and then next day he turned it up again. I had to go across the street. What's going on here? What do you think, I went to sleep? So he said, oh, I'm sorry, it was his fault. So they turned it down again, and then they came back a month later, and the same thing happened. He says, don't worry, as soon as he saw me, we'll keep it low. Yeah, right. So anyway, this is what happens. You get a facelift and across the street, and you can keep up your wonderful appearance. Look at this actress, Joan Rivers, who just recently died. Now, she looked about 50 years old, and she was 81 years old. I mean, she was into a facelift practically every few months. They were cutting a little this, cutting a little jowl, cutting a little from the upper lip, taking a little from here, and I mean, she looked about 50 years old. But what about the rotting insides? What happens there? Well, you can always take one part out, put in another part, sew it here. You know, all that sounds very good. But when it comes down to it, when is Krishna going to take you from this world? So you got 100 different facelifts. You got different parts put in, taken out, and so forth. And then what happens is that she went and she had an operation on the larynx there. And it was a very, very commonplace operation, which is done virtually like appendix. Hardly anything takes place. But she went into cardiac arrest because it was her time to go. And no amount of facelifts can stop you from going out of this world when Krishna wants to take you. You can't say to the Yamadutas, but wait a minute, I just got this latest facelift. I got to show it off. Give me a few extra minutes. Your time has come. But what? And you're out. Interestingly enough, she left her $150 million, of course, to her daughter. But she had four dogs, and they got a few million. I'm not joking. This is for real.
Those four dogs got two in the East Coast, two in the West Coast. I don't know who got the most, but they did get something. Important point is that these things are all artificialities. They don't help us. They don't enable us to truly live in a genuinely happy manner. When you are depending upon all these different externals, you know, whether it's your beauty or whether it's your wealth, whether it's your strength or your influence or your power, sometimes you're a senator, you're a congressman, or you're a councilman or councilwoman, or you're a famous basketball star, a famous football star, a famous baseball star. You have fame, you have cachet, people talk about you, but it all disappears. And when it disappears, it's so lonely because you don't hear the hurrah, you don't hear the applause. Do you ever turn on the TV set when the football game is going and you hear this, rah, rah, you know, the fans, the shouting, the screaming, the yelling in the background, and you become habituated to this. You love it. You enjoy it because they're rooting for you. They're shouting, they're screaming, they're yelling. You're so important. You made that last touchdown and everybody's... And now, 30 years later, your knees are falling off practically from all the problems that you have. You've got a problem in your neck. You've got arthritis in your shoulders. You can hardly open up your fingers completely. This is the fallout from your wonderful football game. And that happens. Many, many football players, they get these football knees and football ankles and so forth. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is that there is this loneliness that nobody's applauding you. Nobody's shouting for you. Nobody's glorifying you anymore. What do? You don't have any standing anymore. You don't have any status. And how do you live with yourself? Because everything was based upon gaining that status, that position, that glory. Now you don't have it. So you're empty. Can a car run on empty? Everybody try it? It doesn't go very far. And all you can do is, play the reruns on your video machine of the great touchdowns you made in the past. When everybody shouted and everybody glorified you, everybody poured this what do they call that, the ice and water over your head, like they're doing now, take the challenge, they say. Big challenge. I mean, this is supposed to be something smart. You pour a big bucket of ice and water over somebody's head and he gets pneumonia. Very big challenge. The challenge is whether maybe you don't get pneumonia. Most important point is that we need to achieve real values. Real values means that which is permanent, that which stays with us, that which doesn't die at the time of death. All these acquirements that I just mentioned, they die either before we die, they disappear before we die or at the time of death. And then they're over. And then you have to come back and do it all over again because that's all you live for, is that high status which you then once had and now you don't have it anymore and you wish you had it. And if you have children, then you push them. Come on, come on. You ever see the parents at the Little League games? They're more excited and more crazy than the kids. I mean, the kids are trying to get home runs and trying to get, trying to strike people out and so forth. But the parents, if their children, if they lose, it's like the doomsday. It's horrible. Because they're trying to regain the sense of false prestige that they perhaps either never had or once had in this position of their children being the winners of the Little League like that. So winner, 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 that's all one wants to be. And actually everyone is a loser in the ultimate sense. Yeah, nobody's a winner. Everyone's a loser. The only winners there are those who take shelter of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Why are they the winners? Because they have happiness which is innermost. A liberated person is not attracted to material sense enjoyment because he is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he centers his mind, focuses it on the Supreme Lord. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is the perfect mystic.
He's liberated in the Supreme Lord, and ultimately he attains the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. You just have to make your efforts. As they surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. But those who follow the path of bhakti yoga, they get there the fastest. Because that is the prescribed method for this age of Kali. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam. Kalona steva nasteva gatir anyata. To achieve God realization in this age of Kali, chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. There is no other way. No other way, no other way. There is another way, but it's not for us. Our minds are too unsteady. If you try to meditate, you know, maybe you succeed for 15 minutes, an hour, and would you keep your mind steady? And then you suddenly remembered, oh, I forgot to buy the avocados. I forgot to buy the avocados earlier today. And am I going to have enough time? No, I forgot to call Mrs. Jones. She calls me. She's going to think I don't care about her. And all these different thoughts, they come, you know, jumping into your head. So the mind is steady in this age of Kali. We have a million different anxieties and uncertainties and doubts. And as a result of those things, what happens is that we become more and more miserable. To overlay the misery, you don't really get rid of it unless you do the right thing. Well, persons take alcohol, or they take cocaine, or they'll take the drug ecstasy or PCP, and for a few minutes they feel very good, they feel very heady, very intoxicated, and then after that, calm down. And the only way they can get back to that, they have to keep taking the drug until they become so addicted that they're willing to even rob or steal or lie or cheat or even kill to get the money to keep the habit going. It's highly unfortunate. Then I hear these same people say, oh, it's very spiritual. When you take cocaine, oh, you have such great realizations. You have great realizations. Until then you run out and then you go out on the street and you mug somebody, take his money, take his wallet, take his credit card, use it for what you want to use it for. This is spiritual. And you can't even control this. So we are very fortunate. Prabhupada has given us the means. He's given us the method. Given us the way. By the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the names of Krishna are none different from Krishna. They're identical with Krishna. So when we chant the name Krishna, we are in effect touching Krishna with our voice and our tongue. And when we touch Krishna, who is all-powerful, who is all-peaceful, who is all-loving, who is all-blissful, the result is gradually, slowly, we begin to feel that peace, that bliss, that strength, that confidence that we are always looking for, but never really finding, because all we ever got is temporary improvement. Whereas here we are gaining solid, ongoing, never-ending improvement as long as we continue to keep going up and up and up. And the result, of course, is that we become transcendentally blissful, transcendentally happy, and then we can also share that with others. This is the beauty and the glory of Krishna consciousness. That although you have it, the very nature of the bliss is that you want to give it out. You want to give it out in some manner or form. You give it out in the form of books, or you give it out in the form of lectures, or you give it out even at your job, whatever the job happens to be. But you act kindly. You act sweet. You act warm. You act considerate. You act thoughtful. You're caring. You're not just some ordinary person. Hey, how's it going? Good. Good. You sure it's going? Yeah, it's going good. Did you have a good weekend? Oh, yeah, I had a great weekend. This is material life. Everything mechanical, everything robotic, everything really indifferent, but you say the right things in order to appear okay in society. That's not living, that's dying. It truly is. Living means being in touch with Krishna, feeling the bliss of Krishna consciousness, and sharing that bliss of Krishna consciousness with others, trying to turn them on to Krishna consciousness, either with prasadam or with the holy name, as we go out and do the chanting on the street. It's a wonderful service. Or in any manner or form. Some people write books, some people cook food, whatever it is, and to offer prasadam. So therefore, we have this wonderful opportunity to continue improving our own life because the super soul is within us, giving us guidance, giving us direction. And if we take that direction, sometimes it's just a hunch, sometimes it's like an intuition, it's a feeling. As we become more and more advanced, it's no longer just a hunch or a feeling, it's an actual communication. This is the beauty. Srila Prabhupada was guided by the super soul. And that's why we're all sitting here today, because he made the right decisions, which enabled us to now receive and engage in this wonderful Krishna consciousness science. So, again, thank you very much for listening. I appreciate your sitting here. And those of you who restrained yourself from going to sleep, I give you a special pat on the head. And I thank you all very much for this, and I hope everyone will pursue this Krishna consciousness, pursue the chanting of the holy name, read these books with the feeling that this is truly a privilege, it's an honor, it's a glory to even have such books, let alone to read them and to be transformed by them and to ultimately leave this world, which we came from for a stupid reason, namely to want to be God, only to find out that the more you try to be God, the more miserable you become. And the more you try to be a better servant of God, the more glorious or joyful or fulfilled you become. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions that anyone would like to have? Anybody want to correct anything that I've said? Put me on the spot. Stump the guru. No? Okay, then you're all released. Excused. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
We'll have round two, right? Later. We'll have round two.